Listening 1. Speaker 1.
Now, this is something I feel very strongly about, and that's that people should not be allowed to keep very aggressive breeds of dogs, such as Rottweilers, as pets. I really think it's totally unnecessary to keep potentially aggressive dogs as family pets. I think you hear so many situations of what was deemed to be a passive animal suddenly attacking a baby, often a new baby, you know, because suddenly the dog feels jealous. A friend of mine recently, their child was attacked in the street by a Rottweiler. Nearly ripped her leg off. It was horrendous. And the animal was still allowed, wasn't put down. I think it's just awful. I can't imagine why anybody would want to keep an aggressive animal as a family pet.
Speaker 2.
I have to say, I'm completely against zoos nowadays. They serve no useful purpose and they should be banned. I think the poor animals are kept in tiny cages. It's not necessarily going to be their natural habitat. And they look bored, the majority of them. They just stand there swaying from side to side or walking up and down. They get fed every now and again and they've got hundreds of people just staring at them and gawking at them as they walk past. I just think they should be banned. I don't understand why zoos still exist.
Speaker 3.
I'll tell you something that I find completely hypocritical about people, right, is people who say that they're animal lovers but still eat meat or fish. How does that work? I mean, I've been a vegetarian for a long time and I just can't bear the idea of eating a dead animal. I just don't understand it at all. It's completely hypocritical. It doesn't make any sense at all. How can you say there's a difference between different kinds of animals? Oh, it's okay, we can eat them, but we can't, don't eat my, you know, my little animal.
Speaker 4. One thing that really annoys me is those dog owners who think that everyone else just loves dogs as much as they do. Well, actually, of course, people's dogs are often a terrible nuisance to other people, and I blame the owners. They stand there grinning at you, or they take no notice at all, when their dog comes barking at you in the street or the park and starts slobbering all over you. And kids don't always like dogs either. They get scared when a dog starts bothering them. The owners just don't get it. They can't imagine that people don't like dogs as much as they do. They stand there with a stupid look on their faces saying, "Oh, he just wants to play," when people just want the thing to go away.
Speaker 5.
Have you ever met that kind of person who tells you how much they care about animals? How deeply they feel for the plight of animals, but who treat other people really badly? Some of the most unpleasant people I've ever met are people who go on and on about how much they care about animals. I think this is just a way for them to feel good about themselves, to feel better than other people. I think they're on the animal rights bandwagon because it makes them feel they've got something over other people. I think it's a way they can justify being so horrible to people.
Listening 1. Speaker 1.
Now, this is something I feel very strongly about, and that's that people should not be allowed to keep very aggressive breeds of dogs, such as Rottweilers, as pets. I really think it's totally unnecessary to keep potentially aggressive dogs as family pets. I think you hear so many situations of what was deemed to be a passive animal suddenly attacking a baby, often a new baby, you know, because suddenly the dog feels jealous. A friend of mine recently, their child was attacked in the street by a Rottweiler. Nearly ripped her leg off. It was horrendous. And the animal was still allowed, wasn't put down. I think it's just awful. I can't imagine why anybody would want to keep an aggressive animal as a family pet.
Speaker 2.
I have to say, I'm completely against zoos nowadays. They serve no useful purpose and they should be banned. I think the poor animals are kept in tiny cages. It's not necessarily going to be their natural habitat. And they look bored, the majority of them. They just stand there swaying from side to side or walking up and down. They get fed every now and again and they've got hundreds of people just staring at them and gawking at them as they walk past. I just think they should be banned. I don't understand why zoos still exist.
Speaker 3.
I'll tell you something that I find completely hypocritical about people, right, is people who say that they're animal lovers but still eat meat or fish. How does that work? I mean, I've been a vegetarian for a long time and I just can't bear the idea of eating a dead animal. I just don't understand it at all. It's completely hypocritical. It doesn't make any sense at all. How can you say there's a difference between different kinds of animals? Oh, it's okay, we can eat them, but we can't, don't eat my, you know, my little animal.
Speaker 4. One thing that really annoys me is those dog owners who think that everyone else just loves dogs as much as they do. Well, actually, of course, people's dogs are often a terrible nuisance to other people, and I blame the owners. They stand there grinning at you, or they take no notice at all, when their dog comes barking at you in the street or the park and starts slobbering all over you. And kids don't always like dogs either. They get scared when a dog starts bothering them. The owners just don't get it. They can't imagine that people don't like dogs as much as they do. They stand there with a stupid look on their faces saying, "Oh, he just wants to play," when people just want the thing to go away.
Speaker 5.
Have you ever met that kind of person who tells you how much they care about animals, how deeply they feel for the plight of animals, but who treat other people really badly? Some of the most unpleasant people I've ever met are people who go on and on about how much they care about animals. I think this is just a way for them to feel good about themselves, to feel better than other people. I think they're on the animal rights bandwagon because it makes them feel they've got something over other people. I think it's a way they can justify being so horrible to people.
Listening 2.
So you've decided to set up your own fashion company. My sister Anna started her own company a few years ago, so I can tell you what I've learned through watching her and hearing about her problems. Well, I won't tell you that this is an easy job, because it's not. There are several things you have to consider carefully if you want to be successful from the very beginning. You need to think about what kind of clothes you want to sell, men's or women's, both, children's. What you decide at this stage will make a big difference further down the line, so it's important to make the right decision. Most people say that it's best to stick to selling just one thing, and really thinking about it long and hard. In the end, my sister went for kids' clothes. Obviously, you'll need money to set the whole thing up and to get going. Many people use their own savings to begin with, but they usually find that they need much more than that. And that's where family comes in useful, you know, for lending money for some time without charging interest on it. Neither of these were an option for Anna, but she was very lucky to have a close family friend who offered to lend her the money to get started. The business started off very small, and it took her some time to build up her customers, so she didn't need a lot of space to begin with. I mean, there was no need to rent an office or anything like that. In the early days, though, she just used her own bedroom. Actually, she still works from the garage at our house because it's not used for anything else. She's doing really well now, and we're all so proud of her. It certainly wasn't easy for her, but we all helped out with anything we could. We packed boxes and prepared labels or went to the post office for her. All of that helped, of course. But I've no doubt that the main reason for her success is the amount of hard work she put in. She worked all day, every day, and hardly took a break. She also had quite a few contacts from the days when she worked for a large fashion store, and they were definitely very useful. I was also thinking about starting up some kind of business myself, though I'm not sure exactly what kind of thing I want to do yet. Anna's given me lots of advice. She said I should do a lot of research to begin with, you know, about the products I want to sell and other companies selling the same thing. She also said that the most important thing was to get a bit of business experience. I'm doing a course at my local college at the moment, and through that I hope I'll be able to go and spend time with some companies for a few weeks, like a placement. And of course that'll give me a qualification. After that, we'll see. Who knows? I might have my own company someday soon, too.
Listening 2.
So you've decided to set up your own fashion company. My sister Anna started her own company a few years ago, so I can tell you what I've learned through watching her and hearing about her problems. Well, I won't tell you that this is an easy job, because it's not. There are several things you have to consider carefully if you want to be successful from the very beginning. You need to think about what kind of clothes you want to sell, men's or women's, both, children's. What you decide at this stage will make a big difference further down the line, so it's important to make the right decision. Most people say that it's best to stick to selling just one thing, and really thinking about it long and hard. In the end, my sister went for kids' clothes. Obviously, you'll need money to set the whole thing up and to get going. Many people use their own savings to begin with, but they usually find that they need much more than that. And that's where family comes in useful. You know, for lending money for some time without charging interest on it. Neither of these were an option for Anna, but she was very lucky to have a close family friend who offered to lend her the money to get started. The business started off very small, and it took her some time to build up her customers, so she didn't need a lot of space to begin with. I mean, there was no need to rent an office or anything like that. In the early days, though, she just used her own bedroom. Actually, she still works from the garage at our house because it's not used for anything else. She's doing really well now, and we're all so proud of her. It certainly wasn't easy for her, but we all helped out with anything we could. We packed boxes and prepared labels or went to the post office for her. All of that helped, of course. But I've no doubt that the main reason for her success is the amount of hard work she put in. She worked all day, every day, and hardly took a break. She also had quite a few contacts from the days when she worked for a large fashion store, and they were definitely very useful. I was also thinking about starting up some kind of business myself, though I'm not sure exactly what kind of thing I want to do yet. Anna's given me lots of advice. She said I should do a lot of research to begin with, you know, about the product I want to sell and other companies selling the same thing. She also said that the most important thing was to get a bit of business experience. I'm doing a course at my local college at the moment, and through that I hope I'll be able to go and spend time with some companies for a few weeks, like a placement. And of course that'll give me a qualification. After that, we'll see. Who knows? I might have my own company someday soon too.